listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg. Mental and emotional health are both such huge issues in the world and have recently received a lot of attention with new scientific findings coming to light, as well as with LDS church leaders and curriculum that are discussing them more. Unfortunately, a very cruel side effect that can happen when mental illness goes untreated is suicide. According to the World Health Organization, each year, about 34,000 people commit suicide. That's one person every 15 minutes. That really puts it in perspective, doesn't it? By 2030, the World Health Organization predicts that depression will outpace cancer, stroke, war, and accidents as the world's leading cause of disability and death. This is a huge issue that obviously affects thousands of families, both in and out of the LDS Church. It's a tragedy that can tear families and marriages apart and may even lead to more mental and emotional illness for the people that were affected by the death or of the loved one. With me today to discuss this type of horrible tragedy and what can be done to prevent it is Travis Baer. He's the program manager with LDS Family Services here in Utah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Suicide is something, you know, as a journalist that we would hear a lot about but that we didn't report a lot on because it was one of those things that we didn't want to draw too much attention to.
Right.
But I do remember doing a lot of stories on suicide prevention. So what do you think leads someone to get to that point in their lives where they just don't feel like it's worth going on? Is there something that snaps? Is there one thing that you can pinpoint, or is it sort of a long leading out process that leads to that decision?
Well, there's certain factors that lead up to it. Certainly number one is 90% of all those who do die by suicide had a mental illness, a diagnosable mental illness at that time. So that's a huge risk factor, and we want to make sure that people are identified, diagnosed, and treated for mental illness. But there's a lot of other factors there that lead up to thoughts about suicide. And certainly those become hopeless, helpless, just becoming more and more desperate in those feelings. Other feelings such as perceiving that they are a burden on others. Not that that's real, but they perceive that that's the case. Another factor that's interesting, one professional calls, is thwarted belongingness. In other words, they feel disconnected from others. And so being connected in relationships is a huge factor. But there's other triggering factors there, such as loss of a job, loss of a relationship. Those are real big ones. and other signs that would create greater risk. Past attempt of suicide, another family member who's committed suicide or died by suicide, just factors along those lines that create greater risk.
There's such a stigma in society related to mental illness and not wanting to talk about it and having a lot of shame involved. You know, a physical disability is one thing, but a mental disability is something very different and something that not a lot of people like to admit or discuss or even admit that their family members have.
Right.
How do you think that stigma contributes to suicide?
A big one. About a third of those who die by suicide don't tell anyone. And so there's mental illness that's just not diagnosed or identified. But there's a lot of stigma associated with mental illness. A lot of misunderstanding, a lot of lack of education, just misinformation that leads to a lot of different myths and misunderstandings, certainly among religious cultures, even in the LDS culture. And so it's important that we have a good understanding of really what mental illness is. I really don't even like the term mental illness. Mental has a stigma to it just in and of itself. And so, really, almost every diagnosable mental illness, there's a biological basis to it. And so, it really ought to be called cerebral illness, there's with all the brain research there is out there that helps us understand what's going on with the brain, the genetic factors, the predispositions, the neurotransmitters, just different brain structure. And these create vulnerabilities toward mental illness. And so the biology is something that I think really we ought to be better aware of to understand. And so it really ends up being a cerebral condition, not a mental condition.
Interesting. What are those suicidal tendencies that family members can spot or loved ones can spot or look for if they're concerned about someone?
Well, certainly there's different warning signs, like I mentioned, helplessness, mental illness, isolating, certainly threatening. If they verbalize anything, we certainly need to listen up, pay attention to that. The segment, the Mormon message on sitting on the bench, that was a great presentation, I thought, of an example of someone who is struggling. I think the thing is we need to be willing to watch and listen and ask. That's an important thing. If we see signs of those who are struggling with some mental illness, isolating, feeling hopeless, helpless, even increased substance use, different issues such as rage or impulsiveness, acting recklessly or dramatic mood changes, if they're really down and then all of a sudden they change and now they're up. I mean, we want to watch for signs and become educated in what the signs are.
If you or someone you love feels like they could be suicidal, what LDS resources are there available to them?
Well, we want to strengthen resources really that are available to all of us, and we would call those protective factors. And those are factors that provide reasons for not escalating in a suicide plan or thoughts. When you really look at suicide, it's all about, or anyone on the spectrum of suicide, it's all about pain. It's not about death. The issue and objective is not death. It's about pain. And so what we're looking for is how to find solutions to resolve the pain. And really, that's what we're looking to do is strengthen those protective factors which help people from escalating up that spectrum. And factors that lead to connection with others, factors that strengthen belief, factors that strengthen skills and resources. And so those we have some unique features in the LDS church that we do have available to us, which are people. First and foremost, we have a bishop. We have other leaders, Quorum and Relief Society, young men, young women leaders, others who are available to us to talk to and turn to when we're feeling desperate and struggling without hope. And those are the kind of things that we have. Now, we also have LDS Family Services that we have available to members, and they can members can go to their bishop and get some counseling resources made available to them. But there's other community resources that I think we need to utilize as well. Medical and psychiatric services, mm-hmm. when there's mental illness, we certainly need to use those. If there's an imminent risk, certainly the emergency room who can do an evaluation for inpatient care if necessary, 911. There is an 800 national suicide hotline. Mm-hmm. That's 1-800-273-TALK. So there's some great community resources that we should be we shouldn't be afraid to use either. There's some great websites.
When someone does commit suicide, there's often a lot of guilt involved with the loved ones that they should have known or they should have done something more to prevent it. What message would you have for those people?
First, for anyone who's died by suicide, there's some language that we should change. Even I fall into that trap sometimes. But anyone who's died by suicide, we want to be a little careful about how we word suicide. We don't commit suicide. It's someone who's died by suicide or taken their own life. And there are some reasons for that. But first and foremost, for the family member of anyone who's died by suicide, I'd tell them to make sure that, first of all, they don't judge. That's really important. There's a great resource that we have in the church. Elder Ballard gave a talk years ago or wrote an article. That's in the October 87 Ensign. Suicide, some things we know and some things we don't. And that's a great resource to help family members understand that we really shouldn't judge, and we should understand that there are factors there that, that no one fully knows and comprehends. Second, don't isolate. Talk. Talk to those you have available to you. Talk to a bishop. Get some counseling for grief. The grief after suicide is more unique than losing a loved one through other means of death. I find that confusion is enhanced, especially guilt and anger are more intense. And so there are some factors there that really lead us to see the need to talk and reach out and don't isolate. And lastly, I would say leave the judgment up to the Lord. We need to understand that the Lord knows our pains much better than we do. He took upon himself every pain and infirmity and sickness so he could have his bowels of mercy filled toward us and know how to succor us. And so we learn something unique about the Lord's mercy in scriptures where it teaches that the Lord suits his mercies according to the conditions of the children of men. That's in Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 15. We learn something about the Lord's mercy there, that he does factor in and consider the conditions that we're in. And no one comprehends the conditions, both internal and external, the conditions of biology, what's going on internally and externally in a comprehensive way. No one comprehends that better than the Lord. And so we need to recognize that the Lord truly is merciful.
Good advice for sure, and a wonderful thing to keep in mind. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Travis, on such a sensitive topic.
You're welcome.
Again, Travis mentioned that Mormon message called Sitting on the Bench. It provides some wonderful insight. Of course, you can find that on mormonchannel.org. Well, the quote of the day comes from Elder M. Russell Ballard, and he said, "If there are any who are thinking of giving up on the challenge of life, my message is that every human soul is precious. There is nothing more powerful than the arm of love that can be put around those who are struggling." Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Jennifer Stagg. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.